Welcome to The Good Cast. This is Alex.
And this is Storm. And this is season two of The Good Cast, which is Good Enough's very own local podcast.
We have some amazing guests from our community lined up for you this year, and we are always happy to take new recommendations. So if you would like to speak to us or you know someone from our community, make sure to tell us in person, drop us a Facebook message, or
find us. You can drop us an email at goodcastpod@gmail.com.
That's goodcastpod@gmail.com. Today on The Good Cast, we spoke to Devon Johnson, an alumnus of Good Enough College, who did her master's at looking at the world of Harry Potter.
We hope you guys enjoy.
So my name is Devon Johnson, and I lived at Good Enough last year from 2017 to 18 in London House. So I'm now officially an alum out in the real world. And while I was here at Good Enough, I did my master's at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama, studying applied theater.
Amazing. Okay. And one of the most interesting things about Devon is your dissertation.
Yes.
Can you please tell us about that?
Yes, so my dissertation was called Harry Potter and the Performative Experience. No, sorry, I forgot the title already.
That's okay, good sign.
Applied Potter and the Performative Experience. So it was a study about Harry Potter experiences, be that trademarked or fan-made, and how those experiences are a type of applied theater. It's applied Potter.
Oh, so were you looking at like the Universal Studios tour? And then what do you mean when it comes to like fan made?
So fan made would be like Muggle Quidditch teams that are organized, or like different Harry Potter like events or parties. I went to a really cool experience called The Cauldron recently.
I saw that.
Yeah,
it's a pop-up shop, right?
Well, I don't know if they're like permanently there.
I don't think so.
But it's cool. It's like you make your own cocktails and cauldrons, and it's like there's a potions master and things.
Amazing.
Like that.
Okay, we'll have to put that link on the podcast so people can go visit.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. It's fun. Looking at both fan-made like things that people, like the fans, have created from the Harry Potter material, and then also the things the trademark and Warner Brothers created.
And were you a Harry Potter super fan like I was?
I am.
All seven books.
Are you not anymore? Harry
Potter I still am. Oh, I'm not talking past tense.
Yes,
but
no,
is that what kind of led you to?
Yeah, even kind of, you could say it's what led me to the UK in a way. I actually always wanted to live in the UK my whole life, starting from when I was born. Growing up, I was really involved with Shakespeare, and then Harry Potter came along, and then I just kind of knew over the time of like being in that world of Harry Potter, which is in the UK, that I really wanted to move here. So that was part of the influence.
And also, Good Enough is like Hogwarts.
It is.
It's literally it is like, Great Hall. We've even got like the Whomping Willow in the courtyard.
That might have been the reason I applied to live here. Oh, I never thought of it as the Whomping Willow.
It
That's
is.
Really nice.
It moves too if you really watch it.
Oh.
Okay, and what were interesting findings you found from your dissertation?
Oh, interesting. So I kind of started off thinking that the trademark experiences were more of what I was going to be talking about when it came to applied Potter. And maybe it would help first if I talk a little bit about what applied theater is.
Please do.
Because applied theater is essentially using theater as like a stimulus for a group of people that might not be actors or performers, but to use theater as a platform for their individual creativity and expression, be that in many different realms. So you could use theater, applied theater, as a tool for social change, or in the criminal justice system, or in education, which is what I focus on. So yeah, applied theater really is just, it's a broad subject, but it's essentially to help a community or a group of people have a platform for individuals' expression. So
when I was at uni, a couple of the societies would do like flash mobs where they, you know, mm-hmm. get up in the middle of a lecture to raise awareness about an event that was happening. Would that fall under
that
applied
like,
theater?
Yeah, that could be. It could be like applied performance because it's like using a performance or a type of like activity to do promote something.
Almost using theater for good.
Yeah. So I thought going into my dissertation that because I've mainly had experience with the trademarked experiences, so the studio tour, the theme park, the Cursed Child play, controversial. So I
we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we really need to.
Went into the dissertation focusing on those. But what I found was really, despite the people loving those trademarked experiences, it is the fan made that really is what I was talking about when I was thinking of Applied Potter. And Applied Theater, because it's really the fans who are the community of Harry Potter, and so that community to really express themselves, their own creations, the fan-made experiences are really what
interested
more valuable.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and more valuable to the community, I think. Even though, and there was a lot of things I was looking at where the trademark is kind of trying to oppress the community almost, because a lot of the time, I don't know if you've heard, but like, when people try to throw Harry Potter events, the Warner Brothers can come in and say, you can't say Harry Potter, because that's our intellectual property.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because
so,
even at Good Enough, that we actually, there's now going to be a
Harry
Potter
Society.
Society.
I saw that yesterday. And
amazing.
I was so jealous. I was like, I should have started that last year. But yeah, it's like really, you kind of have to be careful with what you...
Interesting.
Do when it comes to Harry Potter because
and
it, it's such a big property.
And it is such a money-making scheme. I don't know if you guys have gone to the Universal Studio, well, the one in London.
Yeah, the studio tour.
Yes, I spent like over £200 just buying
oh
gifts.
Oh my god.
Yes.
How many wands did you buy?
Well, funny enough, no wands. It was more like t-shirts and they had stationery and then obviously delicious sweets, which were real temptation. But I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself beforehand, I was like, no, don't be sucked in.
Yeah.
But I completely
it's
was.
It's so hard because you want, it's like you want to buy those things because that's what, when you, if you like wear a t-shirt, that's like proving almost that you're a part of the community and you're a part, like you're a Harry Potter fan.
Exactly.
Mm. So you want to like buy because you want to, and you want to be a part of the world too.
You
want
to have this tangible thing to keep on you so you constantly think about HP.
Yep. I know it's hard.
It's so hard.
I did see Primark just on Oxford Street now has this huge display of Harry Potter stuff.
I was there yesterday
Amazing.
But I guess that is bringing the price down a little bit so that more people can engage.
Yeah, especially because they do kind of do replica versions of, like, so yesterday I saw they had the Gryffindor, like, Quidditch jumper that they have at the studio tour for, like, half the price or even more. So
amazing.
It's really good for fans that want to label themselves by wearing merch and not
but still have extra money to pay the rent.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
This is true.
So let's come back to that comment about the cursed child.
Yes.
What is the I'm gonna go with cursed,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
another
judging.
No, I'm
crazy
in your
is it the book or the play itself, or what is the issue with it? What's the controversy around it?
I think it's because, the book is just the script of the play. So I think the problem is that play was not written by J.K. Rowling. So she approved it, whatever that means. I actually interviewed for my dissertation the associate director, who is a part of the creative team in creating Cursed Child. It was very interesting. He was really great, loved him as a person, but some of the things he had to say were a little problematic when it came to them essentially saying, like, because J.K. Rowling approved it, she approved almost like, I don't know how to describe this, but the play is not, the script is not what people go to Cursed Child for.
Mm-hmm.
they go for the special effects and the spectacle of the play and the magic on stage. So my problem with that, and like I think a lot of people's problem is with that, is that that's for people that maybe aren't Harry Potter fans. They're already getting this impression of the characters, which aren't necessarily correct. Like Harry in the play is not a good father.
He is so bad.
He's really bad, and he's just like
he's annoying.
He yells at his child, and it doesn't seem right for these characters that we've grown to love.
Mm.
Over the course of 10 years of the books coming out, and you know, 10 years of the movies coming, so for 20 years or so. So, so I think that's the controversy, is that J.K. Rowling didn't create this story, and therefore the story isn't what people are coming to the play for. It's just the special effects, and when there's spectacle and there's no heart, it can be a really, I don't know, just kind of, it can have a damaging effect on the world.
Okay.
Of Harry Potter.
Have you seen it yourself?
I have seen it.
And you stuck through both parts?
I sat through both parts in one day. I got there at like 11 in the morning and left at like 11 at night. So, yeah, 12 hours.
Wow.
They do give you a break in the middle to, like, go get dinner.
Okay, good.
But that's a problem with it as well. I think it's just because no play, I don't think any play should be that long. And I am a theater, I would say, professional.
I was going to say, you are. So for you to say that.
No play should be that long because the actors were getting so tired and you could just see them lagging on stage like halfway through and they were like trying to recover. But it's like, I understand you're up there giving it your all, but like it's not.
So you would definitely suggest the 2 day, because you know you could choose to watch
the play. If you're going to go 2 days. The also big controversy with it is this play is so expensive again, and like, people can't afford to go see it.
No.
And that was one of the problems I had with the associate director when I spoke with him. He was saying, well, we wanted this play to be affordable for everyone to come and see, but it's not. It's on the West End, which is expensive. I was lucky because, fun fact tip, if you go to the box office, you can ask, when do you have 15-pound tickets? And if you get a not nice box office associate, they might be able to help you. And so I was able to get 2 tickets for both parts for 15 pounds each.
That's
so
funny.
30 pounds altogether. But some people are paying over 200 pounds to see this production.
Or you can go on the 400 Friday.
Friday 40. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But and it's a lottery, right?
Yeah, it's a lottery. But so I tried that for months and never got it. Yeah.
Ditto.
Didn't you get it, though?
Well, yes. So a friend of mine got it for us, and then I was going to France that weekend.
Yeah.
And I was legitimately thinking of flying back from France just for the day to go, but I didn't.
True HP fan.
I still haven't seen it, no.
Yeah.
So when you spoke to the director, or was he the associate director?
Yeah, so he was just he didn't actually direct the show, but he was part of the creative process.
So did you mention these issues that you had with it, about how it's distorting the true Harry
Potter? Yeah, I was hesitant. I mainly,
it's always going to be a bit awkward, right?
It was awkward, because I really did admire him, and some of the other work he's done is really some of my favorites. I'll tell you what he did. I really did admire him as a person, but one of the main kind of bumps we came into was I said, like many people I've seen online, people are relating this to Harry Potter fan fiction. So I asked him, I said, what do you have to say for people that... Or I don't exactly remember how I worded it, but I said, what do you have to say to people who are saying this is a type of Harry Potter fan fiction? And he was just, he completely shut down, and he was just like, nothing, like, no. No comment.
Okay, yeah.
And he, like, he didn't have anything to say. And I kind of understood, because this is his creation, and he's really passionate about it. And then it was kind of weird, too, because he kind of turned around later, and when we were talking about, like, who owns this play, who owns this world, he kind of said, like, well, the fans don't. They come to the stage door, and they try to give the actors comments, and they don't have any right to do that. This is our play. This is our play. And I was saying, well, who actually owns, this world? And then later on he said, the fans do. So it was very, like, he was kind of up and down. Mm-hmm. I could tell he was conflicted, and it's a hard kind of thing to talk about. But that, yeah, I think that's a lot of the issues people have as well. They're thinking it's not. And he even said, like, the people that created it weren't Harry Potter fans. Like, he wasn't a Harry Potter fan before they started working on it.
Really. So you're getting that maybe perhaps commercial element or like people who are very successful in their field of adapting, you know, for the stage, coming and just treating Harry Potter like another.
That's what
you know.
That's exactly what they said. He said we just treated this like any other play.
Yeah.
And I think in a way that makes sense, and that's like a smart way to approach it. But also for something like Harry Potter, maybe you need to be more cautious because it is people's childhoods.
Yeah.
So.
And I suppose speaking to that, on the other side, when you were going into the kind of the fan world and the fan-led events, you must have met some characters.
Yeah. Well, I thought about doing my PhD as well after this. I've considered it. And I don't know if I will yet. I'm still debating. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get to speak as much to individual fans as I would have liked to.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be something that I would want to do if I went on to do a PhD. But I just mainly was able to speak with people through, I guess, like a survey. So I don't know who they were specifically because it was all anonymous. Did you take my survey?
Maybe.
Yep.
It was anonymous. Yeah. So
I'm sure I did.
So I was able to see a lot of different answers to questions about Harry Potter and just how much it influenced people. And yeah, there was a lot of different opinions. Even one person said on my survey, Harry Potter is the most obnoxious fandom.
Wow.
Like, so if that was you,
yeah,
you have no soul.
Definitely not a good cast listener, I don't think so.
Holy moly.
So we've heard the exclusive deal for good cast listeners of going straight to the box office and getting £15 tickets to Curse the Child. So you've already made money by listening. But what else would you recommend for people who are really into Harry Potter, want to make most of their time in London, apart from living at Good Enough, which is essentially Hogwarts?
And the Harry Potter Society now, which is really awesome. I think take part in that. The Fantastic Beasts premiere is going to be, I think Harry Potter Society is going to that. But yeah, that's the Crimes of Grindelwald premiere, and that's going to be in Leicester Square on the 13th, I believe. And like J.K. Rowling will be there, and that's free, and you just go and you can stand.
13th of November?
Yes.
And they already have wands by St. Paul's.
Yeah, and you can go see the wands by St. Paul's, by the Millennium Bridge.
Amazing.
You can go to see where the Leaky Cauldron was filmed in Philosopher's Stone, which is at Leadenhall Market. If you'd like, there's lots of different locations around London.
Cool.
Also, if you have a chance, go to Edinburgh and do the free Harry Potter tour. Harry Potter the Walking Trail tour, I believe. It's really great.
Because J.K. Rowling wrote Harry Potter, of course, when she was living
from
in Edinburgh.
And she lives there still.
She lives there still. And the cafe is like the
Elephant
House.
Yeah.
But, fun fact, she actually only started writing the Elephant House from Chamber of Secrets on.
Oh.
So,
classic.
Yes. So
that's the, again, insider track you're getting.
So they are the ones that promote it, though. So if you go to Elephant House, it is a really good experience because all in the bathroom, there's writing all over the walls, and it's just like a shrine to Harry Potter, which is really cool. But if you go to, if you want to go to where she wrote a lot of Philosopher's Stone, there's a cafe now called, I want to say Spoon Cafe, but it was originally called Nicholson's Cafe when she wrote there.
Okay.
And you can still go and sit by the window where she wrote most of Philosopher's Stone.
Oh, love that. And we need to mention, as Devon is sitting here, she's wearing a beautiful Good Enough hoodie.
You've got the HP merch, the Good Enough College merch.
I love it.
I loved Good Enough, that's why I really wanted to. I come back here all the time. but I think, Good Enough is such a great community to find your fellow people, the fellow nerds, the fellow scientists, the fellow authors. Like, it's just a really great experience to be able to do that. So I think, just really take that opportunity while you're living here to find people in the Great Hall that you haven't sat with before. And just, like, I always, like, that's one of my first questions even, like, I bring up is, like, you're a fan of Harry Potter? Like,
It's a good way to filter people out.
It's a good way to, like, break the ice as well. But, like, even people that don't like Harry Potter, it's fun to have, like, little debates and like see
and you're like, why?
Or like asking what house you are, like that's just a really great way to get to know people on a deeper level than maybe just the surface. So
what house are you, by the way?
I am a Gryffindor.
Yes,
proud Gryffindor. Yeah. What are you?
I'm also a Gryffindor. Happy to say.
Oh, amazing, guys. Good job. Ditto.
We're all Gryffindors.
All Gryffindors. Oh, yeah. You have to be a Gryffindor to come on the good cast.
Yes, it is compulsory.
Part of our rule.
Mm-hmm. But I do have friends in other houses. I'm not exclusive.
That's good. You don't discriminate.
Yeah, I don't discriminate.
Okay, good.
Even Hufflepuffs?
Yes, my best friend is a Hufflepuff.
I think Ed Sheeran's a Hufflepuff.
Is he?
And that's sort of maybe like Hufflepuffs, because who doesn't love
Who doesn't?
Yeah, Hufflepuffs are J.K. Rowling's favorite house as well.
Yes, she was also, And what fact could you give our listeners about a nice, interesting HP fact that most people don't know?
Ooh, apparently Umbridge, when she is in Order of the Phoenix and she's getting like progressively more powerful throughout Order of the Phoenix, they brighten her pink that she's wearing. So like her costumes progressively get more and more pink. It starts with like a pale pink and then it's like a bright, bright pink by like the end when she's like in her highest power. And they did a similar thing with Voldemort's robes, and they got darker as it progressed.
I love that.
That was interesting.
That
is just about the films.
That's a good one.
All right, so what we're going to try make a habit of out of is ask our guests which podcast they suggest or which podcast they're listening to at the moment.
So when we asked Devon, she told us about this really cool one called Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, which takes a look at the Harry Potter books through a very much a literature approach, and really digs down into some of the most interesting parts and thematic kind of themes. I don't know, that definitely didn't make sense, that come out of the book, but it sounded interesting. So if you want to subscribe, it's Harry Potter and the Sacred Text.
Check it out.
Hey guys, so we hope you enjoyed that brilliant podcast, and if you did like it, make sure to subscribe.
And please rate us on anywhere that you listen to your podcast. You can give us 5 out of 5 stars if you like.
Absolutely.
Up to you.
And the other thing that you can do to support us is join the Podcast Society on the Square. You'll find that under All Societies. And we would love to hear from you if you want to get involved, or if you have some skills that you'd like to share with us, such as editing or music or...
I mean, if you would like to do the editing for us...
That would be ideal.
We are happy with that.